Questions? Yeah.
I want to thank you for what you're doing, Jonathan, and for what we hear from the families of Rhode Island. But my question is for Jonathan. I really learned a lot this evening, especially this business of intermittent factor. Will the underwater tidal turbines have an intermittent factor as well? I'm looking to, we have to improve what we're being offered. And that's where I see something that might work, because it's not going to be visual, it's not going to be sound.
Okay. Yes, the thing about tidal power is that the power is predictable. You know when it's going to come and when it's not going to come. Because you know the tides, you can determine the tides. So in that sense, it's a reliable source that you can predict the amount, and it could be a lot easier to fit that into the grid. I think what you're bringing up is a very good point, because it's one thing to come and be negative about wind energy. You know, it's hard for people to understand that. Particularly all the conditioning, but it's very important too that we offer alternatives to this mountaintop industrial wind, and there is huge alternatives. If you believe, as I do, as an environmentalist, that we need to solve the climate change problem and reduce greenhouse gases, if they build out the 360 miles, 1,800 turbines on Maine's mountaintops, just your tax dollar bill alone will be $5 billion. And if you believe the science that's done independently, it's not going to reduce any of the greenhouse gases. If you took that $5 billion, the other thing is, when they get it built out, there'll only be 150 permanent jobs. Mm-hmm. That's it. If you took the $5 billion, and Maine has the oldest housing stock in the nation, and you weatherized houses, and you insulated houses, and you worked on efficiency, you could actually reduce oil consumption massively. You could actually reduce carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases massively. And you would create thousands of permanent local jobs for people and communities all across this state. Another way you could spend the $5 billion, and this is what I spent the last 3 years on in terms of climate change, is forest restoration. As you know, forests sequester carbon. These things are going to destroy 50,000 acres of forest, natural sequestration. If you spent the $5 billion even paying small landowners to manage their forests for carbon sequestration, and excuse me, my forest, my 120 acres, I've designated as the first carbon sequestration forest in the state of Maine. I manage it so that the forest, it maximizes the forest carbon potential. And according to a Pew study, that is actually the most cost-effective way in terms of dollars spent per ton of carbon removed is to restore our forests. Maine's forests, average age is 40 years. I mean, because they're just butchering it every 40 years. Boom, 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 boom. That's the cycle of harvesting. If we double that age to 80, we double the amount of carbon that's stored in there. And there's already stored in Maine's forest over 2,250 million metric tons of carbon stored. Maine's forests alone could absorb, if we manage them right, 17% of the carbon put out by the automobiles in this country. That would be the most cost-effective way. But I think there's other alternatives. There's microhydro. And this summer I went to Quebec and Labrador to look at the massive hydro activities. I also did a little brook trout fishing too, okay, which was nice. But you know, 20 years ago, I opposed bringing Hydro-Quebec power into Maine because of the ecological damage that it was doing up there, and it has done. They flooded areas the size of Connecticut. 10,000 caribou have been wiped out. They've reversed the courses of rivers. It's a disaster. It's a disaster that's taken place. It's been done. And that power could come down to Maine and be about an eighth of the cost, the real cost, or even a tenth of the real cost of industrial wind power. So there's that, but there's also, in my thinking, the way I'd like to go is work more on a community basis and develop micro hydro, for instance. Not big scale industrial hydro, but micro hydro, maybe, possibly, if they can deal with the impacts to fish and stuff, the tidal power you're talking about, solar power. This project in Highland is going to destroy over 500 acres. You could create the same amount of energy with 25 acres of solar panels, okay, which wouldn't have to destroy mountaintops. It could go on a field somewhere. Coupling that type of energy with natural gas, which is 70% less carbon producing than coal, is going to be the wave of the future. But it's really only short-sighted and is being driven by these politically connected people in Washington to steal the tax dollars that we don't have to spend in order to create an energy source that is inefficient and ecologically damaging and economically very expensive. In Denmark, just to give you an example, Europe, they've had huge penetrations of wind. In Denmark, before they started on their wind charade, and they're close to 30% penetration in the market now, their kilowatt cost was 15 cents per kilowatt. They're now paying 38 cents per kilowatt. In all the countries in Europe, the cost of energy has gone through the roof because of their involvement with wind. None of them have seen any carbon reductions. In fact, China, which is one of the big wind manufacturers, actually is building coal-fired power plants to back up the wind. So when the wind doesn't blow, they have power. In the UK, what they're talking about now is, after they subsidized all this wind, they're talking about paying the wind generators money not to let the wind turbines turn so they can control it. It's an insanity that's a problem. And I've spent time with Olympia Snow and Susan Collins and Shelley and Mike and other folks on this, and we'll continue to do so.
First one back here.
I'm long-winded.
On the $5 billion.
Billion.
How much of that is going to go into the hands of the developers as profit after they've built this thing? What percentage do you think?
Well, my understanding of the way the economics works, at least this is what they've done around the state. They come in and they offer people reduced energy prices. They tell them their taxes are going to go down. They don't tell them that their property values are going to go through the floor, they tell them that these are the sort of tangible benefits, which represent a very minuscule component of what they'll make. I don't know specifically what their profit margin is, but what I can tell you is that under current federal laws, that they get 2.1 cents per kilowatt, which represents huge millions, hundreds of millions of our tax dollars. As I said, in this one project, 180 million of it is subsidized. Those tax credits last for 10 years and then they stop. And when they stop, what do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to continue to produce energy after 10 years, even though these things have actually a life expectancy of 20 years? They're just going to be rusting on the mountaintops.
If the solar power is so markedly less expensive for the same effect and has a much lesser impact on wind turbines, how come it hasn't been explored more? How come it's not being done with such fears of the wind power?
Intermittency is a problem also, obviously, with solar. But there are people who are exploring this. Richard Silkman is looking to develop something called the smart grid, where we, what we really need to do is to get out of the ISO New England grid and develop distributed power on a regional basis that would combine these types of solar displays, arrays that I'm talking about, with some, coupled with some sort of natural gas. And that would be very effective. The fact is, though, that there's huge huge subsidies, huge money being pushed towards this mountaintop wind. It's the lowest hanging fruit. It's
exactly.
It's the easiest thing to move forward on, and that's really what's driving it. You'd have to talk to a solar expert. I'm not sure that the wattage, cost per watt, is if you take away all the subsidies, isn't a little bit higher on solar still.